You, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus, today. Worship you, Jesus, today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious fountain, so pure and sweet. It's a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. If we could ever just really totally comprehend how deep the love of God was for us. You know, if we could grasp how much it's Him wanting to do something for us rather than us trying to earn something from Him or grasp and take something. If we could really see how much He is wanting to do something for us. Amen. I was sharing something last night before. Young lady wanting to receive the Holy Ghost. I appreciate young people over here praying to receive the Holy Ghost today. I'm just going to say, receiving the Holy Ghost is not hard because it's a gift and God so desperate wants to give it to us. He didn't make it hard. He made it easy for us to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The instructions are so simple. Repent of your sins. That just simply means I've just got to tell Him, God, I'm sorry. I was born with a sinful nature. I've sinned all my life. Don't be embarrassed to admit that you've sinned, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You, me, all of us, everybody has sinned. So there's no shame in saying, oh God, forgive my sin. Everything, you may not know how to name it all. Just Jesus, everything I ever did that was wrong, everything I ever said that was wrong, everything I ever thought that was wrong, every feeling I had that was wrong, would you just forgive me for that? That's what repentance is. And you need to understand, you don't have to just keep begging God for 1,000 years, because the Bible said He's faithful and just to forgive. He wants, He's more anxious to hear us say it than we are to turn loose and say it. It's like, come on, if you'll just say it, I'm just waiting. If you'll just say it, I'm ready to forgive. Yeah. And so when we say, God, forgive me, He says, okay, you're forgiven. Immediately, we should just, there should be some load that we feel lifted. The Lord God Himself has forgiven me. That's not the end of it, but there's a you feel forgiveness, and it makes you feel free to start to thank Him. You just start, because God inhabits praise. I've said this before. You know, when we talked, if it came out in like in little bubbles or smoke signals, if we could see that, the Spirit of God just flies into the middle of that, because He inhabits praise. And where is it coming from? It's coming from down in here. So the Spirit of the Lord enters the lips of praise and into the heart of worship. That's why whenever God said, look, if I made it real hard, you might not be able to get my gift. I want you to have this. So I'm not going to make it hard. Repent and start to praise me, and I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's how it happens. I've seen people just lift their hand and they intend to say, Jesus, I love you. And that praise is there, and instantly God, they begin to pray and they think they're going to say, Jesus, I love you, but their words or different language. They may still be saying it, but they're not saying it in the language they know. Because God wants His gift to be easy to receive. Amen. He wants a little child to be able to receive it. He wants a stumbling, staggering senior citizen that just about used up all of his years. He wants him it easy for that senior to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is so good. Oh, precious fountain. So pure and sweet. Amen. Holy Ghost is in here right now. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're just needing God to heal something's been hurting on the inside. It's just that easy for that. It's easy for you to receive the Holy Ghost. It's easy for you to receive just an answer to a problem you don't know how to solve. While we praise Him, why don't we just, let's take a minute, let's love Him. I'm just going to challenge you. If there's something that you need from Him, why don't you just love Him a minute and say, God, I just love You. I love You. I worship You. I give praise to You. I exalt You. I'm saturated by Your presence in this room. I worship You. I stand in Your holy presence. I feel the majesty of God in this house. And I feel Your hand touching me. I feel the breath of God breathing on me. I worship You. I worship You. I worship You. And I want to give this concern. I want to give it to You. I want to give this need to You right now. I don't want to carry this burden anymore. I don't want to carry this desperate feeling. I want to just put that in Your hand. In Jesus' name, I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You can't imagine Him more majestic than He is. You can't anticipate Him being more compassionate than He is. And you can never overguess how strong He is. Amen. He's here in this room. He's in this room. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. And the Lord's not compelling any one of us to love Him. He's not forcing anybody to praise Him. He's not demanding that of anybody. If you lift your hand and love Him, it's because you decided that He was worth that. It's because you decided He was worth your heart reaching out and saying, you mean all this world to me. I worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Because He was there beside you whenever you were in pain and when you were lost. He was there when you were frustrated and when you were filled with guilt. He was there whenever you felt so dirty. He was there whenever you felt so hopeless and helpless. He was there. He's the one that put His hand on you. He's the reason you're standing in this house right now. It's because He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Amen. Let's just tell Him again, Jesus, I love You. Thank You for all You've invested in us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for loving us more than we deserve. Thank You for being more forgiving to us than we deserve. Thank You for pouring out more compassion on us than we deserve. Thank You for desiring with all of Your strength to help us get to heaven. Amen. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. The very God who created a burning hell wants desperately for none of us to have to go there. He said, didn't make it for you. Didn't make it for you. I had some angels that were covered with My glory. I had angels that walked in the stones of fire. They were supposed to be worshipers and praisers, and so I made a place for them because they turned against Me. But I didn't make it for you, and I don't want you to go there. Amen. Amen. I feel the Lord in His house. I feel the Lord in His house. I want to tell us today. It's okay. I'm going to minister out of my spirit to you. I was reading something that Jeremiah wrote to the people of Israel, and Jeremiah said, "You know, there's some things that are going to come. There's going to be 70 years of Babylonian captivity, but God's going to bring you back out." The acknowledgement of there's some chastisement, but the promise is that God's going to bring you back to this good land of promise. But he said this. He said, when you go there, don't stop living. He said, when you get to Babylon, I know that's not where you want to finish up, and that's not the promise. But when you get there, build some houses. Get married. Raise a family. You know why? Because you're going to raise a family because 70 years from now, there's going to be 50, 60, 70-year-old people that have never seen Jerusalem. And it's going to be their first sight. I remember when we went to Israel, and it was already night. We were in the bus coming into Jerusalem and climbing the bus was climbing a hill, coming up to a high place where we could look over the city and see the lights of the city. And the guide pushed in a CD or something, a tape, and they started singing, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your voice and sing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to Christ the King." Hey, you could just sort of feel that feeling of worship and majesty. We come to his place, to his city. Jeremiah said, don't stop living even when it's before the promise gets here. Just, you know, when they first got to Babylon, the Babylonian people said, "Sing us one of your songs." The psalmist wrote back. They said, sing us your church songs. And they said, "No, our harps are hung on the willows. We just don't feel like we can sing right now." But Jeremiah said, go on, keep living. Daniel, keep opening your window and praying toward Jerusalem. Three Hebrew boys, keep standing firm for what you believe. It's Babylon right now, but it's going to be Jerusalem if you'll just stay faithful. Amen. Amen. Folks, hey, we're not in heaven yet. We're getting the earnest. We're getting to enjoy some of the interest. You know, we're just drawing out a little bit of the interest out of our account, but heaven's waiting. Heaven's waiting. I don't know. I'm not going to write a will for somebody else to inherit my heaven. So until then, hey, build your house, get married and have kids, raise them up, quoting the scripture, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Teach them. Hey, teach them. You know why Daniel, three Hebrew boys, did what they did? It's because when they were young, growing up, their daddies said, come on, Daniel, I want you to quote this after me. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your strength. Come on, quote it for me." "Okay, Dad, I've done it 1,000 times." "Yeah, come on, do it again. 1,001. Daddy tells him laws. You don't sit at king's table. You don't eat meat offered to idols. And when he's way away from home and nobody's watching him, he said, no. Tell you what, we're going to eat something different. We're not going to. I've got a feeling you offer, you know, that probably got offered to an idol somewhere." I'm going to tell you, to me, it was the ultimate sacrifice that he said, all I'm going to do is eat vegetables. I'd have had a hard time in Babylon. I'd have just had to say, look, let me be one of the memories. Y'all bury me here and take my bones back 70 years from now. But the reason he could do that is because Daddy didn't stop telling him. So when you get to Babylon, don't stop telling them. And if all the promises hadn't unfolded yet, don't stop preaching it. You've been praying for something that hadn't unfolded yet. Hey, don't quit believing for it. Don't quit praying for it. You know that let that hammer just keep hitting the rock. It may be the next hammer stroke. Amen. Just stay faithful. You realize that it's no big hard job for us today to just be faithful, is it? No, it's not costing us anything special just to keep living for God. That I'm not in pain living for God. I'm not being whipped, beaten. I'm not having to sacrifice. I'm just having a privilege to keep on living for God. Hey, when we go back to Jerusalem, when we start building another temple, there's going to be some 50 and 60 year old adults that say, wow, isn't this awesome? There might be some 90 year old, a few of them left that say, man, that don't look like Solomon's temple. But all of them can remember that the Lord said, I'm going to put my heart there. I'm going to be there. You know what? I was told that from the air, you know, God said, I'm going to put my name there. God's the one that told David to buy that piece of land where he saw the angel of the Lord that had been pouring out judgment. And God's the one said, buy that land, build an altar right there. And that became the spot where the temple was built on that spot of that sacrifice, that altar. And God said, I'm going to put my name there. I understand that with an aerial view over Jerusalem, that the hills of Jerusalem spell out in Hebrew characters the name of God. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And God's put his name on this place. Hey, I don't have to worry about God coming because he said, well, that's my house. I live there. I don't have to worry about him going off on a big vacation because he's already said, yeah, that's where I live, right here. You want to find God, come knock on my heart because that's where he lives. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm in church right now. I'm having church because I'm in his presence. In him, I'm living and moving and having my being. Jesus said something about himself in the book of John. John recorded what Jesus said. He was praying in the Spirit, said, Lord, you know, it's me and you and me. You see my little bag I use sometimes. The air's in the bag, but the bag's in the air too. It's wherever he goes, he's just surrounded by the presence of God. He's filled with the presence of God. Amen. That's what I'm doing in this house right now. I'm walking in his presence. I haven't seen him yet face to face. Do you realize if there had never been an incarnation, we would never have seen him face to face? He would have always been spirit, and spirit doesn't have any form. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, because he gave us something that when we get there, we will see who is sitting on the throne. We will understand that his majesty fills all the universe, but he'll focus our eyes on his focus point. Yeah, I want you to make sure you know who I am. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in church? Why don't you stand and let's just love him again. I'm not going to try to preach anything else to us. I think he just wants me to know him. When Jesus made that statement, some folks are going to say, you know, we did all these religious things and did it in your name. He said, but I didn't know you. What we're doing today is we're knowing him, because this is intimacy with God. Amen. Amen. I want to say that intimacy with God means more than him healing me when I'm sick and helping me pay the rent. Those are blessings from God, but that's not intimacy with God. You know, me hearing his word preached and taught, that's instruction from God, but that's not intimacy with God. Intimacy with God is when somehow you can step into the chamber of his presence. And in your mind, just close the door so there's nobody there but you and him, and have fellowship. Won't we pray that the Lord will just help us learn how to get in that place? I was thinking of what I was reading in the scripture. Moses, servant of Moses was Joshua. And if you'll read before even the tabernacle was built, Moses and Joshua would be there. In fact, there was a time it was just a tent. And the scripture says that Moses left and Joshua just stayed. You know, I'm not stealing anything that belongs to Moses. He just walked out, but since he left me here, I'm going to just stay in the presence of God. Wouldn't it be awesome to just feel like you could linger hours, just linger in the presence of God? Let's pray again. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for letting us learn intimacy with you. Feeling you not just talk to us and walk by, but feeling you infill us, saturating us with your glory, letting us sit with you in heavenly places. You lift us up above principalities and powers. You lift us up above the demonic voices of this world. You take us into a place where the only sound in our ear is the sound of your voice and the touch of your hand. In Jesus' name, thank you. We love you. We love you. We worship you, Jesus. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord today. Amen. This has been a good week. And those that were able to go to the conference, it's our turn now, conference. If you have any capacity to be blessed and didn't use it, what a shame, because we were blessed. It was good. The whole conference was excellent. It was a ministering conference. It just every session was good. Every speaker was anointed. It was great. I was glad to be there. And I came home feeling all brand new, that God wants to just keep doing awesome, awesome things here. Let me mention this. I did speak to Brother Tim Green, one of the speakers, a man with a prophetic ministry, and I said, when could you come and be with us? And he texted me from the airport. I want to present something to you. It's a little bit crowded period of time, but he said he could come be with us a Wednesday and a Thursday night. I'm sure if we have church on Thursday night, everybody will be here. Yeah. And he gave me what's open, and the next date that was open would be back in August. I don't want to wait that long. I want him to come. I have not responded just yet, but I want to tell you, because I do plan to contact him back. I'll just give you a little hint right now. It's probably, if I remember right, it's May 17 and 18. No, I got it wrong. I'm looking. I got glasses. I can get on the right page. No, that's not it. No, I missed it. I didn't miss it by a mile. I missed it by a week. It's May the 10th and the 11th. Now, we have some other things going on that week. It'll be busy, but it'll be worth it. So I do plan to get back in touch with him today and confirm if he's available. I want him to come and minister here. I respect his ministry. I believe the hand of God's on him. I have